American Drug Company, makers of Bromocycerin, invite you through the creaking door into the inner sanctum for a scented, transcribed Christmas story starring Frank Sinatra. Bromocycerin reminds you to...
Good evening, friends of the creaking door. This is your host to welcome you into the inner sanctum. Come in. Come on in. It's Christmas. And since traditionally in this season, not a creature stirs, not even a mouse, we silence our governments and creatures too for this thing. In story conference, we ask our writer to devise, and I quote, a play in which people are touched in the heart and not in the head. A story as mellow and sentimental as a season's greeting card. Tonight's story, then, is our season's greeting card to you. The Enchanted Book. The Yuletide Miracle Story of Christianity. Played by Frank Sinatra is the story of a tough guy who came to believe in Christmas ghosts with magical power. But let's hear Chris's own version of it.
Go ahead, laugh if you like. Sure, only kids and old ladies believe in ghosts. That's what I thought, too. Until I met a chubby little guy with hair like cotton candy who called himself Sir Benjamin. But first, let me fill in the details up to my meeting with Benjamin. I was in one of those free each missions, a short church along Chicago's Skid Row. The sign, Come One, Come All, hadn't pulled me in. Flanagan had. Flanagan was a parole officer prowling the south side to hand me a merry set of bracelets for Christmas when he caught me. I had the mission all to myself except for a skinny young punk hopping out of course that made the benches jump. His face looked like he was already dead. And in between the cards, he opened two square little boxes with Christmas designs on them and stared into them. Hey, kid, you're sick.
I know.
You need a doctor.
I've had a doctor. I wanted to go home for Christmas once. For all year, though. I didn't care.
Those boxes you're holding, who do you mean them for?
My mother. Well, old lady. And Linda. My kid sister, Linda. You like this?
Maybe for what, huh?
Just for my mother. Didn't understand.
What's in the other box?
Stocking. Found silk. I promised Linda I'd buy her found silk. Someday.
Oh, kid, get hold of yourself.
I
don't
know. If you could get them here, Mrs. B. sent them for me. Sarah, Tommy.
Hey, kid. Get hold. The coffin stopped for a longer time, and his eyes fixed wide as if what he was looking at was no longer in the room. It was right then that Sir Benjamin, the chubby little ghost with hair like cotton candy, happened. The first I knew of him was music, as if he was announcing himself. Music coming from an upright piano on a platform way down the mission road. A Christmas hymn. But look, until my eyes popped out of my head, I couldn't see anybody playing. The piano was gone, but nobody I could see was playing. I went up to the piano and reached over the stool to see how the stick was working. My head touched something solid, like somebody sitting on the stool. And then I saw fingers and hands skipping along the keys. Only hands, as if they had a life of their own.
Don't stay frightened, Chris.
Yes, I'm seeing things, and now I'm hearing voices.
My voice, yes. You're hearing me.
Where are you?
I'm right here, my boy. You touched me before, very roughly. I'm afraid I have a bruise in your hand, pal. Well, it's one of the whispers my business, I suppose.
Look, whoever you are, in another minute, I'm going to let go and scream and blow my top.
Oh, no, don't, please. Just I'll be patient and I'll rematerialize. It takes a moment or two.
Oh. I saw the hands, too. First arms, and then elbows, and shoulders, and the torso. Slowly, like some artist was sketching it in front of me. And then the last thing, a head, the little tops of iron gray hair, and a face, a chubby face, rosy and smiling.
Who are you? Benjamin. I'm sorry if I worried you.
That optical illusion. Here you were. Like you were invisible.
I was invisible.
You trying to tell me you've got powers of invisibility?
That's only one of my powers. I suppose we get right on the business, Rose.
We have business?
Oh, of course. Just all over there on the fence. Tommy Sherman.
Yeah, that's it. Honest to God. He's laying there like he's dead. I don't dare go outside, but somebody's got to call an ambulance to do something.
No, it's too late for the boy. Tommy has left us. What are you going to do about his dying wish?
Dying wish? Oh, you mean showing up those items to deliver to a pizza?
Yeah, those were items. Oh, delivered in person. What are you going to do?
Nothing. I'm going to do nothing. It's none of my business. I've got problems of my own.
Lonergan, the parole officer?
Now, where did you get that? What have you got? Powers of divination, too?
Oh, I'm a very versatile and talented ghost. I also have powers of conjuration.
What do you mean, powers of conjuration?
Turn the
boy's dying wishes
out and I'll conjure up one of them.
Oh,
you don't think I can, huh?
I think it's me that's got the powers of conjuration. I don't think you even exist. How about that? I think I'm dreaming you are.
Very well. I will demonstrate. Now, hold on to something, Chris. Conjuration is very characteristic and generally spacious. It will definitely be safe as well. Hold on,
Sunday. Don't ask me why, but I grabbed a hold of the piano and then fell right under it. It's a good thing I would because the drum was going to rock like an earthquake or something. The benches were going to be all flattened, banging, and toppled over. Sweat it, we're there. Sweat it, the sun's falling apart. Sweat it, sweat it.
I'm finished now. Quite a job of controlling. Lonergan was a good half a mile away.
Just Lonergan was a...
Yeah. Yeah. But there we are. Straight from the street. Going through the plate glass window of the mission. Watching you.
Holy smokes. Who is Lonergan? Oh. Hey, I better get out of here. I better find a doctor.
Well, over here. Pull this back.
I ran into the lab with Lonergan's police with a blowing up. The yard was a dead end. High building walls all around like a prison yard. Doors except a long, narrow alley to the street, past Brandon. I sat him in the shadows, a dead duck.
That's the extra ball. That's right. All right, bless him out. Well, look back. So we're going
to throw him
the
police
for you, do you hear me?
Duck was a word, like a rat.
What is the penalty for violation of parole, huh?
Oh, you are no good fool. You are a fool. I'll turn the end of the lab.
Give up, man. Give up. I'm going to take you to help me.
You were to go home for Christmas and his wife. Okay, if I was to then what?
Then I'm going to go empty handed in order to catch you in the south
finger. Flanagan suddenly gone stone blind, huh?
No! You are becoming invisible.
But the laugh was that I was invisible. But Mr. Flanagan, I was. He came right toward me with a flashlight one hand and gun in the other. Only he looked right through me as if he didn't see me. As a matter of fact, if I hadn't jumped to one side, Flanagan would have left like that.
Angela! Angela, I know you got to be in this lab. Angela,
a light from time up in him. From Lucita. From Triple's hot box, look up at the high building walls and slap his head and give up.
Well, bro, well, now get me, boys. There isn't any way out of that car.
Meet Mother. Mother? This is Chris. Welcome home, Chris.
Oh, thanks. Nice place you got here, Mrs. Simmons.
I'm glad you like it. Very glad.
I don't know exactly how to get it said, Mrs. Simmons. Well, I'm a mug. I quit school the minute I learned how to tell a piece.
You don't have to have the right words, Chris. You don't even have to get it said. This is all right. You know, I have gone to bed about time. All the time.
Somebody had you on the telephone. Is that how it was?
Yes. Somebody telephoned me.
The last thing Tommy said about was you and Linda and coming home for Christmas. He asked me to give you this. Go watch to you, Mrs. Simmons. And this to you, Linda. This fact. Not much, maybe, but Tommy didn't have much to give. Very well for him.
You're wrong, Chris. Tommy had more to give him. In his day, he gave it.
You're talking a little in my head, then.
I guess in your heart. A girl comes home. Tommy couldn't come home himself, but he's been sent to you, Chris.
About me, that I was born in 1925, and I stopped crying in 1926 at the ripe old age of one. And you can also say about me that I let a kid go on and never knew I had. Christmas 1949. Linda.
Yes, sir.
It's quite a place you got here, and it's got a feel of home, all right.
But,
now, don't get me wrong about what I'm going to say, Linda. It's not crying being poor. It's Christmas, but I don't see no tree, and I've been sniffing close enough to the kitchen to know that there's nothing worse than the mud of them.
Is it pain?
No, it's just an idea turning over my head.
An idea?
Yeah, but maybe this set up needs a man around the house. Is it all right if I borrow a dollar and I'll sell it?
All right. Of course it's all right, Chris.
You can also put me down as a guy who never knows when to shut up. A fool, a fool. Sure, nothing to it. Just so much just for any magician. There's your fool, and there's your boy.
That's quite a remarkable thing of magic, Clark. What's the matter of a fool?
So, Benjamin, I was wondering when you'd show up at Civic. You are here, Sir Benjamin.
Well, but... in the parallel, I'm saying, don't ask me to run the parallel out, Chris. I don't stand my face in Bethlehem. I lived here once, before my present situation. And I wasn't very popular with my townspeople on the road.
What have I had against
you? I died on the president, the baker, and even the undertaker. But now let's get back to your property.
It's free and a turkey, and it's your property. I'm dumping it right over.
Oh, well, then move over. I'll take it. I died on the president, the baker, and even the undertaker. But now let's get back to your property.
There aren't any ghosts in Harvard State. They're going to observe the rig of a smart ship. To a farm stuck with suffering
subsidies.
I see the fool in the wagon and went out. Sir Benjamin was coming out of a poultry house, and he had a rope around the neck of a fat gobbler.
Well, you take the nation to run your way.
Where you go?
To leave the street for a swimming of prices came down for sales.
I hurried back to the roof, right into the arms of Stella. There was somebody in the middle of the way, and they were in the show. Strong. All right, Angela. Run and you won't get 10 yards. What did you do? Look into your crystal ball to find out where I was? And nothing. I just had the same phone you got. Baloney, you had a team to be able to do that. I'd see you. What were you, a baby? Yeah.
swear I was in business.
Well, you're killing me. In business.
Yeah. What about in the yard behind the mission? You walked right past me.
You saw the flashlight on me, but you couldn't see me. How about that, huh?
I'll answer that one. Maybe I didn't see you because I didn't want to. I didn't want to touch you. I had to make noise just to get in the car. I didn't want to make you wet. Not anxious. Well, you're making me a rough now. Maybe I'm not. Why did you call me all the way here? You look rough, too. You didn't really want to help you under the hard time. So, you're bringing the things or food and things.
How do you know about the thing?
I knew something was in the car. But I'm not sure. I was gifted to Mrs. Bowman back. I found Mrs. Bowman and Linda was coming from.
Well, I was hearing the song.
Yes.
So I talked to them.
So what? I don't know. I'll ask you one question, and maybe I'll leave. I think that's it for you. Yeah, if I arrange for you to keep in touch with the parole office by mail, providing the letters will face my death. Would you like to talk
to me? Would I?
Flanagan, where else does a guy want to write letters from that home?